ಜಮುನತಿರವನ್ನಚಾರಿ ಜಮುನತಿರವನ್ನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರತ್ನ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗುಪ್ಪಿ ಜನ್ನ ಬಲ್ಲವ ಗೀರ್ವರದಾರಿ ಯಶೋಧನ ನನ್ನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋರನ ನನ್ನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಮುನ ತೀರವನ್ನ ಚಾರಿ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪರ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪರ ಪ್ರಭು ಪರ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪರ ಜಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಲ್ಲರಾಮ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಲ್ಲರಾಮ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಲ್ಲರಾಮ್ ಜಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಲ್ಲರಾಮ್ ಜಯ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ್ 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 ಜಯ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ್ ನೀತಾಯ ಗೋ ಹರಿ ಬೋ ಹರಿ ಬೋ ಹರಿ ಬೋ ಗೋ ಹರಿ ಬೋ Glorious to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, Shri Krishna Sankirtan. Which chapter is this? Could someone tell me? 22. We're reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita today, chapter 22, text 73. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda So this is a chapter called The Process of Devotional Service. A lot of wonder wonderful information in here for us. Text 73. Ishvare tad hadheneshu bale sheshu divishatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakkaroti samadhyamaha ishvare tadaneshu bale sheshu divishatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakkaroti samadhyamaha. Please chant. Ishvare, under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tat adheneshu, to persons who have taken fully to Krishna consciousness, bhalesheshu, unto the neophytes or the ignorant, vishatsu, to persons envious of Krishna and the devotees of Krishna, prema, love, maitri, friendship, kripa, mercy, upeksha, negligence, yaha, anyone who, karoti, does, saha, he, madhyamaha, a second class devotee. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. An intermediate second-class devotee shows love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is friendly to all devotees, and is very merciful to neophytes and ignorant people. The intermediate devotee neglects those who are envious of devotional service. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.46. This statement was made by the great sage Narada while he was speaking to Vasudeva about devotional service. The subject was originally discussed between Nimi, the king of Videha, and the nine Yogendras. No, Vishnu, but I just said, but I see my devotee, not the Swami, and I was the service of Devi Gaur, and which are she, Shishuni, but Visha, Chadesh, Chitari. So we've been discussing the different classes of devotees, and we're on the intermediate or Majjhim class today. Most of the books that Prabhupada has given us actually have a lot in them about this subject. Nectar of Instruction pretty much echoes what's being said right here about the different qualifications of the Majjhim Adhikari. And then there's Nectar of Devotion, which is wonderful. It tells all about the different do's and don'ts, how to behave, how to be a nice Vaishnava, and how to interact with other devotees. And of course, the Bhagavatam was full of stories of different interactions of devotees with non-devotees and amongst the devotees. And of course, the sublime example of Lord Chaitanya and his pastimes and his dealings with the devotees is there in these wonderful volumes, which are a little bit closer to us because it's a little bit closer to home. Only 500 years ago, we go to Mayapur and we see all these places where he actually was, and it's he's very, very personal, just like you can think of all the different relationships he had with devotees. Like there's Sridhar, Kolavesha Sridhar. He was playful and teasing him all the time. Of course, he loved it. And then there was Junior Haridas, where Lord Chaitanya took a really strict, we can't even relate to it, how strict he was to Junior Haridas for a very small so-called offense. And then at the Rath Yatra, there's King Patrabarudha. And Lord Chaitanya gave him a real hard time. He wouldn't give him his darshan. And finally, after he submitted to a very humble attitude, Lord Chaitanya gave him his darshan. So he put him in a lot of anxiety. And then at the same time, he was most merciful to an old lady who got on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder, wanted to see the deities. And they were trying to get her off, and they said, no, don't let her see, it's okay. So many different relationships Lord Chaitanya has, which are very relishable for us to hear. Srila Prabhupada, he set up this International Society for Krishna Consciousness in the hopes that we would all help each other move forward. And he took in anybody and everybody, literally, took in people off the streets, took people from the government, for all different kinds of people, even people that weren't really faithful, or even some that were wanted to harass the devotees. But he accepted them all, and he more or less had the most successful Varnashram program by having all these people work together and move each other forward by these interactions of the lower, middle, and ultimate class. So it's very interesting how Prabhupada has arranged for that. So we should be very thankful that was so open-hearted. And here we're discussing the intermediate, the different qualifications for that different division of devotees. And it dwells mostly on the faith. It discusses, we're friendly to devotees and we worship the Lord, like the deity worship and things like that. But it's really because of the faith in the beginning. When we first come, we're kind of still a little doubtful, have some doubts, and not really fixed, not initiated. And then as we step into the practicing of devotional service, we see the difference. The most important thing is that we take the initiation. We take the vows of actually sticking to the process. We learn more philosophy. We get fixed in the philosophy. Our faith gets stronger. And we have that commitment to serve the spiritual master, which is very important. And then we take to that training, and that gradually we become purified, and the faith even gets stronger. And when you look at the Majjhim Adhikaris, they have the qualifications of preachers, because they have the faith and they have the knowledge. And that's a wonderful combination to be actually go forward and to try to capture other living entities that are wandering around in this material world looking for the answers. They have a little... this in the translation or in the purport, it discusses this, where this was spoken. And I looked up this second discussion about with the Navayogendras, and it's one of the longest purports in the Bhagavatam. It's like 6 or 7 pages. And it talks all about the different acharyas' opinions on this particular aspect of Majjhim Adhikari, which seems to kind of go against what we think of as a Majjhim Adhikari. We think of the Majjhim Adhikari as being equal to everyone because he's out there preaching. He runs into all kinds of people, and he understands that everyone is a spirit soul. All those people out there are spirit soul. They're all lost. They're all looking Therefore, I should be merciful to everyone. But here is discussed that one should avoid that. One should avoid approaching the atheist and the demons and the those kind of people, which we come across quite often, especially on Harinam, things like that. So the acharyas discuss it. Actually, it's for the protection of the devotees. The Majjhima Avadhikari is fixed, yes, but at the same time, still a little bit on the tender side, can still be swept away very quickly. Plus, it also is an opportunity to get rid of some false ego. I know that on Sankirtan sometimes you meet some person who's wants to harass you or challenge you, and your ego gets bigger and bigger, and you're thinking, oh, I can cut down this guy. Yeah, I can take care of him. You know, I can prove by scripture I can do this, I can do that, and you can take on. I can take this on, and then most of the time, the person gets angrier, and then you get angry, and then you lose that ability to really transfer Krishna consciousness. And actually, they go away upset, and you go away upset. And the worst thing is if you actually have some hatred for these non-devotees. So it really is a way to really cut your creeper very quickly. So therefore, the acharyas recommend that if you do come across these type people, just best to avoid them, to give them some prasadam or something like that. Because you don't want them to go away unfavorable. Prabhupada said that the best thing is if after you talk to somebody, they go away thinking that, ah, I have just met such a nice gentleman. I've met such a nice person. This is the real success. Because our creeper is very tender. We're not pure devotees by any means. But it's nice to have that attitude of wanting to save everybody. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, his famous prayer saying, I'm not really worried about my own advancement. You know, I don't care what happens to me, but I'm just concerned about all those people out there that are lost Krishna. And when you go out there, that's the way you should feel. Your heart should be full of that compassion. But at the same time, best to think of how you can engage that person some other way rather than to try to feed him. You can definitely give prasadam and let him touch the book, maybe. Prabhupada said they benefit just touching the book. Or let him hear the holy name. There are some exceptions. I wish Sukada was here to tell us the story. The story is in the airport in Miami. I was there at that time. I wasn't doing book distribution, but they would come back with all kinds of stories of the demoniac persons that worked at the airport. They would actually tear up books. They'd find them in the garbage can, or they'd throw them in the garbage can. They would harass the devotees, try to break up sales. And they were really very demoniac. And the devotees tried to tolerate it. Sometimes they had to call the police just because it was getting too uncomfortable. But they would still go every day and give out cookies to all the people that worked at the airport. And, of course, the non-devotees that were antagonistic were thinking, oh, those Krishnas are here again. Oh, Krishna, oh, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And gradually, the cookies and the Krishna and the nice smiles on their faces and their politeness and their patience and their tolerance actually turned them completely around. And they actually were going around finding all of the books that people left somewhere and bringing them back to the devotees, helping them and being very kind to them and making some advancement. So this is an exception, but it shows the qualities, the other qualities of the Majjhima Avadhikari of actually being patient and tolerant. So it's a wonderful process as we continue in our endeavor to preach that we're getting very purified and more and more, you know, closer to having that strongest faith of never leaving the lotus feet of Krishna. There's one song in the songbook. It's by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It's called Vaishnava K. And it means that, you know, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Here we're talking about the different divisions. Where am I? you know, how to be honest and see where we are. So it talks about the qualifications. And this is something that we can always go introspective and find out where we are. But I don't know about any of you, maybe on the women's side, but when you were young, we always would play house. I don't know, my sisters, we'd be the father or the mother. We were just, you know, teeny tiny little kids. We'd pretend that we're adults and that we had to control the kid and we had to do this, we had to do that, anticipating that, yes, I'm going to have that position someday. I'm going to be mature and I'm going to have responsibility. So we'd play like that just to see what it was like. And it was always, always upsetting, especially when you couldn't control the kids. So we got it right back at us. But we were pretending. We were making the motions. But gradually, we grew up and we became, you know, adults. So in the same way, you know, it's hard to think of us as really devotees, you know, on the level of serving Krishna directly. But we're in the process. We're getting purified. And gradually, with the mercy of the spiritual master, we can begin to render some service, at least to him, and he can deliver it to Krishna, just like we say those people that assisted their spiritual master in dressing the deities. So it's not that we are personally, you know, doing it, but we're doing it for our spiritual master. This is an important part about the Madhyama Adhikar, is that our real purpose is to serve the Uttama Adhikari, to assist in that service. So this is, we should be our meditation. And the most important thing is that we increase the faith in the Guru, so that initiation, that training begins and we can get purified. There's a difference between the Madhyam Adhikari and the Kanishta Adhikari is that both of them believe in Krishna. When we first come, we actually, yeah, I believe there is God. You know, so many people are thinking, I believe in God. But the Madhyam Adhikari, he actually practices. He's committed and he practices the devotional service of actually doing this attempt at serving and pleasing Krishna. So this is an important distinction. In talking about distinction, we preach a lot that the difference between animal life or animal bodies and human bodies is that we have this ability to discriminate because we have a developed intelligence. Therefore, we should use it to ask questions and to become Krishna conscious. And here also it's actually asking us to discriminate in this purport and in this discussion about the different classes, to see the differences. But that doesn't mean we go around all day and think, oh, are you a Madhyama? Are you a Kanishta? Are you an Uttama? Are you? It's not that we're supposed to judge people, you know, go around all day and think, oh, I wonder if she's fallen down or if she's really has faith or whatever. So this is not what's meant by that discrimination. It's actually meant to help us in becoming responsible for the position that we might be in. So in Madhyam Adhikari, like it's discussing here, that to serve the deity and to make friends with the devotees. And also when newcomers come, it's a responsibility of those a little bit more advanced to take care of those that are younger and might want some questions answered. Unfortunately, we don't have the ability to have the family raising the whole community like we used to when we all lived in the temple. Every day was like everyone was helping each other, and every minute was a training process, and you were always under someone's supervision and someone's command, which was wonderful training to really understand, you know, who we are and where we are in spiritual life. So now that we have a small program here for training men, no program for training women. And so many householders are coming, new householders. And, you know, how do they get their training? I mean, by just coming, and not so many people could come. Like right now, I can count on one hand practically how many people are in the room. I mean, other people are listening also. But it's unfortunate that we don't have a training program like we used to have. And although we have so many Srila Prabhupada disciples here, over 150, I believe. How many? Over 200. Yeah. That we don't have even a mentorship program. In other countries, like in India, they actually have a wonderful program where newcomers, householders, families come, and they're given someone to help them. It's a kind of a formal thing, but it's an important thing. And it's unfortunate we don't have that program here. Because, I mean, I'm a Prabhupada disciple, and I'd love to, you know, help people that are newcomers, but it's an awkward situation, because we don't see them, we don't interact with them so much, they don't know how to get hold of us, they don't, maybe they even think that, oh, you know, they think the Prabhupada's disciples are the big men on campus, you know, they think they know everything, you know. It's really hard to find out who wants training, who doesn't. Even in my little interaction here at the temple, sometimes I try to give some suggestions. I see something that's not what I think Prabhupada would like, or the standard. And sometimes I get more or less slapped in the face. And they just listen, they ignore. And it's hard. We're put into a rock and a hard place, they discusses it. Described in America. That you want to help, but you don't know how to help, and you don't know who wants help, and you do see standards that are substandard, which really shouldn't be like that, and Prabhupada would not want it. But how to train? It's a difficult problem. I mean, I find it here in the biggest temple in North America, how to train everybody, and hopefully that someone will figure it out someday, but I haven't figured it out. Maybe there can be some discussion on that. Definitely something that I think Prabhupada would want, to have some more formal type training. We tried a women's ashram here for a while, but ladies are either married and they've got that responsibility, or they're going to school or they work. And to find people all over that can come for some training sessions, very difficult. I'm sure you're having problems too. To have enough people to actually have a program. So it's something that should be dealt with in our temple, I believe. But discrimination can be useful because it helps us to know how to behave properly as a Vaishnav. And how to be more respectful to everyone. Of course, it's best to see everyone equal, and that I pay my respects to everyone. Maybe some at a distance, but be better safe than sorry. Just to be humble and pay your respects to everyone. I know that when I just listened to a tape last night, Prabhupada, it was wonderful. I never heard it before. It was Prabhupada reading his presentation to Bhaktisiddhanta on his appearance day. But he was reading the prayer, that beautiful poem. But he was telling the devotees how he came to that conclusion of how he said that verse. And it was so wonderful how he just expanded on how glorious his spiritual master was. And he said, the thing I remember most was that we're always students. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati always said that I'm always a student. I'm always learning from everyone. So that's a nice position to be in. I know when I, last year at this time, I was at the Govardhan retreat, and at Govardhan, and there's people from all over the world there. And we're not in a position to think, oh, is that a Madhyama Adhikara? Is that Uttama Adhikara? You know? And I say, the best thing I should do is just serve. So every day, every meal, I just serve the devotees. And it was so nice, because that's the wonderful thing we can always do is serve everyone. Except for serving my godbrothers was a little uncomfortable. They felt uncomfortable, so I didn't do that. But everyone else I served. So this is a nice position that we can always be in, and we can always learn from everyone, from all different facets of the devotees. The Majjhima Adhikari also has certain aspirations and goals. And that the main one is that the Majjhima Adhikari wants to become more attracted and attached to Krishna. We have a vault in our hearts that contain all these desires for many, many lifetimes. And we need to open it up, crack it open. And we can do that by preaching, like the Majjhima Adhikari does. It open it up and to get rid of all these other attachments and fill it with becoming attracted to Krishna by hearing more about Krishna's pastimes, by hearing about his characteristics, by becoming more attracted to the holy name, which is Krishna. And that way we can empty that box, which has been around for lifetimes, and fill it with Krishna and become more attracted. And that's the next level, when you actually go up into the Uttama Adhikari. So this is something that we need to work on. There's a nice song that describes some of this. As much attachment as I now have for worldly affairs, I pray that a similar degree of attachment may develop for your lotus feet. So we want to switch. We want to switch that material attachment for a spiritual attachment. And that means we need to increase, especially the chanting, because we need that higher taste for chanting. This is another nice verse about that. Even though I chant the holy name of Lord Gauranga, somehow I still have not melted in ecstasy. How then have I maintained the burden of this body? How has the Creator fashioned this body with a stone in place of Vasugosa's heart? So this is, we don't want that heart, we don't want that stone in there. We need to become more attracted by chanting, especially Lord Chaitanya Jai Nitai, Jai Lord Chaitanya, Jai Panchatattva, and of course, get more absorbed in the holy name. Actually, I think it was Mukti the other day that said that the more absorbed you get, Prabhupada said that someday even Krishna will talk to you. And I've also read where Prabhupada said, even if you're so absorbed that Krishna will even kiss you. So this is the aspiration that we should be looking forward to. Otherwise, as it's said here in this prayer, whoever has not worshipped my Nitai, or taking advantage of this excellent opportunity offered by him, knowingly commits suicide. So we don't want that. So we have to take advantage of all these books. I mean, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is just nectar. I remember when I was in Portland, when the boxes would come with a few volumes at a time, it was just like, you know, just like Christmas, you know, and the best present you can ever get to read about all the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Because it will not only keep the heart open, but gradually, as we repeat these pastimes to other people, and the more we remember them, then that attachment can increase to affection. And then we can really get closer to love of God. So this is the science, the nectar of devotion, is a science of how we can gradually work our way up to perfection. And here's a nice song about how Lord Nityananda has perfected this appreciation of other devotees. My treasure is Lord Nityananda, my master is Lord Gaurachandra, and my very life force is a youthful divine couple of Raj. My strength is Advaitacharya, my family is Gadadhar Pandit, and Nahari Shakar is my very activity. My playful bath is taken in the dust from the feet of the devotees, and my satisfaction is in hearing and speaking the names of the Vaishnavas. My contemplation time is spent relishing the nectar of devotion, highlighted by periodic quotations from the Srimad Bhagavatam. My mind is fixed on obtaining the devotees' food remnants, and I blossom with joy at the remembrance of the Vaishnavas' names. My mind simply surrounds the raised platform in Vrindavan where the rasa dance is performed. Thus speaks the lowly Narottam Das Thakur. So you can see his whole day is absorbed in relishing and serving the devotees and hearing and chanting and just completely absorbed in loving Krishna. So this is the perfect example. Now, every day we have a challenge. We wake up and we have to deal with our family members. We have to deal with people at the temple. We have to deal with our work people. So these are challenges of the Madhyamadikari that we learn from these descriptions, how to become more befriending and loving, and how to serve the devotees nicely. So maybe some people have some suggestions how we can teach this science and share it with each other better. Over there, is there?
One, just I'm always open to suggestion, especially from Prabhupada disciples. Try not to clobber me over the head, but I definitely appreciate, you know, correction or suggestion, so I'm open to that. But I had actually, it was more of a question when you were talking about the importance of initiation, and I recognize that. I don't negate that at all. I just, I always, you know, took it very seriously, like you're making that commitment not just for a lifetime but for forever, basically. You know, it's even more of a commitment than a marriage. You're not saying, you know, till death do us part. It's after death and beyond. So you know, different reasons, guru issues than my own issues and stuff, I didn't take initiation yet, but I just was wondering, you know, what you would say, like, in regards to, because I always thought it was more important to be ready for that commitment, that you actually could make that commitment rather than take it and then fall away and commit nonsense and even lose faith, you know, because then you're linked to somebody and who's sharing that karma with you. I was just wondering, like, in regards to initiation, like, as far as you know, I take it very seriously, that commitment, and so I just never thought, you know, after a certain point, I just thought, you know, I just don't think I could say that right now, and I'm glad that I didn't, because I did, you know, not always follow the regulated principles, and I fell
away. When you make the commitment, though, then you make a commitment.
But so many make it and then fall away, you know, and so is it better to wait until you're ready, or to just kind of, you know, it at some point it seemed like it was kind of like a in vogue thing, and people were just doing it just to do it and to get a name, you know, rather than actually taking that commitment so seriously.
I suggest you take the Guru Disciple course. That will get you completely prepared. It's a requirement anyway, and it helps solve some of these problems. Best not to wait too long. You're not getting any younger.
Yeah.
And it is such an important move. Like you say, it is important, and it definitely requires some contemplation. I think if you take the Guru Disciple course, all your questions will be answered, and I think you'll feel that you can do it. Mm-hmm. You can do it. And
yeah, you mentioned that before. I'll have
Excuse
to,
me?
I said you've mentioned that. I'll have to watch.
ITC?
ITC. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, you can take it online now, I think.
Yeah.
But it's very helpful. I think you just need some encouragement, that's all. Mm-hmm. And and once you take it, that's the thing. You make the commitment, and then your life is, you're locked in. And then the purification becomes intense, and you'll see that the advantages of it. I wouldn't wait too long.
No, I know. I take it very seriously. I agree with what you're saying. I guess I just, my point was, isn't it better to wait until you feel that you can actually seriously make that commitment, or better to make it and then struggle and fall away. And, you know, I guess
your spirit soul wants to get liberated.
True.
Your material body will have doubts and this is and that's and that's and that and that. But you're not that body. You're not those doubts.
Yeah.
You're the spirit soul. So it's your duty to do it this lifetime. Golly, you want to come back again? I don't.
Okay.
So be convinced. The material world is brutal. Brutal. You know, we need to help each other and get out of here. And we need the help. That's the thing. We need the help. You don't think you can do it, but that's the thing. Once you get the spiritual mass, you get the help. And that's your strength. Like he says, my strength is so-and-so.
I guess I'm just more afraid of, like, committing the offenses once you are initiated and you do something nonsense.
There might be some slip-ups here and there.
It's a more serious offense.
There might be some. It's not like we're all pure devotees. It might be some slip-up, but you're going forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Made a big mistake, a big offense, because he was thinking, oh, this is a materialistic person. And then he thought, oh, I have to take initiation from him, because the spiritual master, by nature, he has to forgive his disciples' offenses. It's just like a father or a mother forgives the offenses of their children. That's the relationship that's there. You have to take that. You're the child. You're going to make offenses, but forgiveness is just guaranteed. Just you have to go on and on. Your attempt is the important thing. You want to take that shelter.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila 7.99, also Madhulila 6.116, the purport, you can see Prabhupada says, when Lord Chaitanya traveling, delivering people, nowadays Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur delivering people also all over the world through his disciple. Of course, Prabhupada was talking about himself, but indirectly he's saying, so what does that means? And then he says, this two potency, cognition, sambit, and pleasure potency. Without these two potency, transmit from a realized soul to the conditioned soul, nobody can be delivered. So it is must accepting Guru. Even if I cannot follow, but Guru's mercy can uplift me. So it is required, compulsory, in order to get delivered. It is not possible. There is no example that somebody got delivered without accepting a mercy of some pure devotee. So that's, I was mentioning, this verse is so important. In Nectar of Instruction, text 5, Prabhupada writes that in Ishkan, all devotees should rise immediately to intermediate. So then I was thinking, how they will rise intermediate? They have to know what is intermediate and what is new five. There has to be some impetus that what is the value of intermediate. There are four discrimination, and I must have that impetus within me to go there. So I think it's very nice. And thank you for nice explaining.
That's
the whole.
Very important to study this science, and to see where we're at, and to review it, and to keep reading it, because you can learn more and more. And like Bhaktisiddhanta said, we're always students. We can learn. We learn from each other just by doing service with them and by discussing in groups. Okay, anything?
Sorry.
Yes.
You asked, your question was, maybe some ideas of how we can continue to teach. So I was thinking... Actually, a few years ago, I suggested it to some board members, and then COVID happened and everything. But, that pastime where Srila Prabhupada, there was like an empty church, and he said like one day our temples will be like this, all of you will be married, and you know, like, you know, and then also with the thought that Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he emphasized so much in Namahata, like one idea that I thought for this community is that, you know, devotees like yourself, Prabhupada disciples, like we kind of create a team, like a roster of devotees who would be open to going to different devotees' homes in the community, maybe bring the padukas of Gornitai or Krishna Balaram, and then give the opportunity to devotees in the community to have Namahata programs, to receive devotees, to where they gain inspiration. I know my first experience as a child where I was kind of like infused with, you know, understanding the difference of like strong spiritual energy, it was when, I remember when Jayapataka Swami stayed at our house, and I remember how our house got prepared, how it was like everyone scrambling around, cleaning everything. And so when you invite devotees into your home, it brings this spiritual charge. So I thought that if you know, we make a team of devotees who we go into the people's homes and do programs where then they bring their friends, and everybody in this community have different circles and different, so they'll bring their circle of friends, and then they're teach about Krishna consciousness or teach. So that's just an idea.
That's
since
great.
You asked. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. So let's do it. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vaishnavas ki jai.